Well, good morning, guys and gals. It's December 1st here of 2021, and hopefully you all had a good Thanksgiving and are ready for hopefully a better 2022. I know the numbers were good for most of you guys and gals for 2021, and hopefully it gets even better for 2022 under the obvious circumstances. Real quick, we're going to be speaking about pricing, and I think we've kind of hit like a Goldilocks zone, kind of a perfect zone for you guys to be able to raise your pricing to your customers. And we'll kind of go into that and what I'm talking about, what I've been feeling out from you guys out there. And then we'll get some participation as well. Just real quick, to participate in the meeting, all your lines right now should be muted. And to unmute your lines, you'll simply hit *6 on your phone. That'll unmute your line so you can participate in the meeting. Once again, thank you everyone for showing up this morning on a little bit of a kind of late notice for an announcement. But so I guess you guys have all seen it. We're going to talk about pricing and what we can do moving forward. If you haven't already done it now, at least implement it probably on January 1st. As you know, I mean, inflation's going through the roof. Whatever they say on the news is usually understated by several percent, as you all know. Everything from, I don't know, baby food to SUVs are going through the roof. Shipping costs are going through the roof. I was talking to somebody the other day. He said their rates at auto mechanic, their rates are going from $200 an hour to their customers to $300 an hour. So, you know, simply getting work done on your car is going up. Well, I mean, what's that number? 50%, 200 to 300. Not to mention all of the pricing of everything you've bought, including gas, shipping, et cetera. So, okay, enough of the doom and gloom. We've all seen that. What can we do? How can we react, basically, to that? And I think we have to react. I don't even know if we have another option, because raising our pricing to our customers, it's just got to happen. I think we all are guilty of kind of keeping the same pricing to the customers year over year, even if our gas expenses or car insurance expenses, some product expenses, whatever, might go up. We're just so hesitant to pass that increased amount onto the customer base for maybe fear of offending them or getting them to look elsewhere. But I think we're hitting a point right now, and I'll take some calls or some comments from you guys in a couple minutes here, but I think we're getting to a point right now where I think customers are going to be surprised if their pricing doesn't go up, because they know everything's going up. I was talking to Scott Marks yesterday or the day before. He was telling me, you know, he does a lot of shipping in his area. He's already been notified by the folks he uses for his local deliveries that their prices are going up January 1st. So we'll get his take on what he wants to do there. I know I've heard from vendors two things that are problematic. One of them we can definitely take care of, and that is their pricing is going up. So what we're doing here locally, for sure, what we really recommend you guys do locally in your areas is raise your pricing if you at least $10. We're going from $89.95 for overhauls to $99.95, you know, on the standard stuff. We're going from $189.95 on most turbine replacements to $199.95. If you guys are already at those levels, I still recommend bumping it $10. Who knows what's going to happen next July 15th? You know what I mean? And will it be something? It seems like every time we turn around, there's something that's affecting us in a negative way, you know, financially with inflation, et cetera. So we're raising prices to our customers here. We really recommend that you guys do it there. Even if our product costs only go up 2 or 3%, which is what I'm working on, and Steve's allowed me some larger amounts of capital to negotiate and buy more product at cheaper prices. And trust me, I'm trying to do it every day here without letting Nona know, because I would get a different response from her than I get from Steve when I, you know, let him know what I'm trying to accomplish here. So I'm trying to do as much as I can to stock up on as much as I can for you guys. I mean, I'm ordering like 300% more than I would normally order, trying to take advantage of the fact that prices really haven't gone up yet to us. But the announcements from even our suppliers are twofold. One, prices are going up January 1st. They've already stated that. I'm not even – I would be surprised if they don't go up if one of our suppliers forgets to do it, which I doubt that's going to happen. But number two, I'm also hearing of severe supply shortages coming up. I was talking to Mike Moreau, who most of you met at the last convention, and he said that he is getting dates from Myonic of 2 to 6 months being out of product. So that's significant. You know, when I hear 30 to 60 days, okay, usually I've got that on the shelf in the bearings department, or at least I try and keep that kind of stock on the shelf. But 6 months is major. You've got to figure out other places to get the product, and if that doesn't happen, then all of a sudden you got to start looking at different product. And I know we love what we have. We love the Myonic product. The bearings are great. Obviously, they're partnered up with New Hampshire Ball Bearing. We still carry some of their stuff, and they're great. But, I mean, I am just putting as much of that as I can on the shelf for you guys and hoping that in the 6 to 12 months that, you know, all these companies are dealing with supply shortages and getting stuff from overseas, we'll be able to ride that out, and you guys will be unaffected. So Steve's allowed me, like I said, to really up my ordering to try and take care of that now. So maybe your competitors won't have product on the shelf at the current pricing, but we're certainly going to try to. So that's what we're doing here for you guys. What we recommend you guys do to your customer base is definitely, if you haven't implemented some price increases yet, definitely implement them on January 1st, because I think, A, prices are just going up across the board no matter what you're buying, whether it's gas or potentially your cell phone bill and or other business-related expenses, all the non-business-related expenses you guys deal with, and then, unfortunately, this damn supply shortage shock that Mike Moreau was kind of warning me about has got me really trying to ramp up our inventory here. So that's what we're doing here. We recommend you guys do it. We think this is a golden opportunity. Like I said, I think that dentist offices will be shocked if their pricing doesn't go up at all. And I think when you do raise your pricing, I don't think you'll get any kind of brushback or feedback from them. I really don't. I think everyone's got to be expecting it. I'm sure they're going to be raising their prices to their customer base come January 1st. A filling's going to cost more. A teeth cleaning's going to cost more. So those are just the thoughts I had. I would certainly open the floor to anything you guys have experienced out there so far. I wouldn't mind hearing from Scott on what you're kind of doing to make up for some of the shipping increases that you're dealing with, and maybe what you might be doing locally with your customer base. Are you there, Scott?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Scott. We can hear you.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, I spoke with David. Our local courier is going up, and then I don't know how many people use either FedEx or UPS, but just even their floor ground rates, I don't know, used to be in the $8 and something range. Before you add weight to it, their lowest has gone up to $9.50. So there's two aspects of it that, you know, I'm contemplating. We not to get too into the backstory, but we for years, you know, told our customers no shipping. You know, we don't charge for shipping. And then eventually we did put we creatively called it handling and insurance in. I think it was originally $2.95. We were afraid we were going to get bombarded Monday morning with, you know, a bunch of calls. And, no, I mean, I think I had a conversation with a couple of doctors about it, and then eventually that went to $4.95. And I'm right off the bat, I'm already planning on moving that to $6.95. And whether I have to start calling it shipping or explaining, that part I have to finalize. But every time I go into this or dovetailing into just changing repair pricing, I'm always – I think we're all too worried that the customer is going, you know, I don't know. If I have pick 20 customers and I just put a different price on the repairs every single invoice, I don't even think I would hear anything. It just, I know the price points might be something instrumental in getting the account set up or getting the business in the first place or the turnaround time. And then after, you know, not be complacent or anything like that, but after you have that relationship established, the trust there, I don't even know. I mean, it seems like, you know, I could add artificial, I don't do that, but, you know, I can add a $30 fee for this. And, you know, it really, I think we overstress. I'm just giving you a theoretical about tweaking prices and all that. So I'm definitely planning on moving up my handling and insurance $2 each invoice to $6.95. And in my repair pricing, you know, we've been at $89 and we have a range on turbines from $169 and up, and I probably will move that up to $179 and up. Curious what others are doing, but I no longer don't want to change out of fear of losing customers, because I really think that's overstated by the one or two customers that, and you always have the ability to, you know what, Doc, I appreciate your business. I'm either going to hold your price or I'm going to give you a, you know, this repair, I'll be able to give $20 off. You know, you could always do something special for that customer, but you don't have to suffer the, you know, you can get that extra $10 for the masses and then do something special if you had to for one or two, if you really think you're going to lose that account, if they're worth having in the first place. That's a different discussion. So.
No, I appreciate that. I just think you're right in that when we do – we finally implemented as well shipping here to our local customers. Scott, I'd be hard-pressed to remember one customer calling me up and complaining about a shipping charge on the bottom of their invoice. And we were hesitant to do it like everybody else. We just did. I think because initially, at least on our marketing materials, we said free shipping on our brochures. And so we're, dang it, we say it on the brochure. How could we possibly now charge them for shipping? We're hypocrites, you know, or whatever. And so, you know, Steve just said, okay, well, print up a new batch of brochures and take the free shipping off of it. And we did. And I think it was about the same time you and Mel did it there, Scott, and some other folks did it. I think it was Alex Igdowski, who John Sisti knows well, obviously, but he was super hesitant to charge shipping, and then he finally did it, and he said he had one customer call him out of several hundred. He had 200 plus customers, maybe.
Hey, David, it's John.
And yeah.
So John, having taken over from Alex.
Uh huh.
We've been charging. Alex was charging $6.95 for I don't know how many years. So I've had this for 4 years now. 3 years ago, I upped it to $7.95, and I've had one person complain that his actual complaint was because I charged him sales tax on the shipping charge, which he had to do a lot of math to figure out that the shipping charge was taxed, and I had to explain to him that in the state of Pennsylvania, if the contents of the parcel is taxable, then you have to charge tax on the shipping, but that's a whole nother discussion. But I haven't had anybody question me in 4 years, and I don't know how, you know, Alex was probably doing it for 15 years.
Well, he was probably doing it for 12 of those years, John, without ever charging a cent for shipping. We had a discussion like you and I and the group are having now, and we're trying to figure out, you know, how to add some margin to the bottom line at the end of the year. And it was simple. Just had a shipping charge, and he was hesitant to do it, and then he finally did it. And then at our next meeting, he got up in the group, and he was talking about other things, but he mentioned that he got one phone call, John, from his customer base about the shipping. He explained it to the guy, and the guy said, okay. So,
and Dave, what other that goes hand in hand with this, but it's probably uh-huh. – I'm guilty of this. I'm sure most of others on this phone are better about doing this, but I leave money on the table as well. Now, I don't do as many overhauls. That could be a whole different monthly call. You know, I do a lot of just replacement turbines. We can get into all that, but So on an 89.95 overhaul, if I had to change an impeller, or even on a new turbine, a 189.95, if I had to change a back cap, the right thing to do is itemize that. That's not necessarily, quote-unquote, included in a standard overhaul, so that could be a potential $18 charge in addition. And I more times than not, just bill at $89.95, and that repair cost me $30-something dollars instead of $20, which is wrong. I mean, I'm leaving money on the table, so I don't know if there's others out there that are not taking advantage of. You're not trying to manufacture and add things out of nowhere, but if you genuinely have to replace some of these parts, that's potentially leaving money on the table by not at least putting your cost, you know, but usually a little bit of an upcharge on some of those parts. So I don't know your thoughts on that or what the general masses do on those things, but I'll sometimes just eat some of those costs because I know the repair itself was, you know, which is not the right way to look at it. So while we're airing our dirty laundry and trying to be more profitable, I think that's something I definitely am going to change as well.
Well, I'd love to hear from the group on this too. I know that when we first started to establish a local customer base here, Scott, we were dealing with a pretty competitive Hayes guy, but the way we were getting those customers from him was that we heard complaints from him, the customer base, that he was basically doing that on every single repair. They were
gotcha.
Like, well, and I think this was back when repairs were $79.95 before we had even gone up to $89.95. But anyway, he was advertising $79.95 repair, and we were hearing complaints. Nobody had ever seen a $79.95 repair because on every single repair that was like, oh, we had to add a back cap, or we had to add an impeller, or we had to remove a head dent, or we had to clear the water line, or just there was always some extra charge that this guy was putting on. So we got the business because he did it apparently to everybody on every invoice. But I think if you don't do that, if you just do it honestly, you know, then
it should
be fine.
If it's one out of three on the three on the repair, two of them just needed an overhaul, one of them also needed a cap, I don't think that's going to raise any red flags or be met with resistance.
This is Cecil.
Yeah, Cecil, what do you do?
We have a little statement, a little disclaimer on the bottom of our estimates. It says estimate is based on lab test and external evaluation. If additional internal damage is discovered upon disassembly, then additional charges may apply. We will notify you of any changes before proceeding. And we'll do that. If I get one apart and go, oh, got to replace this back cap, I'll give them a quick call and say, you know, I'm going to have to replace the back cap. It's going to be $35 or whatever.
And what's what's your approval rate? Pretty high.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Awesome.
Nobody ever says no. Don't repair it. They all say thank you for giving me a call. Thanks for the heads up. Go ahead and do what you need to do.
Perfect.
I've never had anybody say no.
We took Joff's advice. Do you guys remember at the last convention when Joff stood up and he showed everybody his work order, where he took off the check here for an estimate, and I think he wrote something along the lines of, you know, all standard repairs will be performed unless otherwise requested. And it took it took our estimates from trust me, and I like Don, our rep, who many of you guys met, obviously a real good buddy of mine, from 100% down to probably 5%. Maybe 10 at the most of even getting estimate requests. And if it's a small one, I think, Scott, here locally anyway, and I'd like to hear from others too on this if they're different, but if it's an impeller on one out of the three hand pieces they sent in and they didn't ask for an estimate, we're just going to do it, bill it, and get it back to them. We are going to charge them for that impeller. If there was something significant or whatever wrong with all of the three, we would definitely feel obligated to call them. In your case, you're taking that out of the effect, Scott, in that you probably think, well, it's not worth my time and potential rejection of the overall repairs over an extra impeller here or impeller there. Is that kind of what I'm feeling?
Hey, David, this is Dale. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, so a couple things real quick because I'm driving and I'm getting ready to pull up this office here in a few minutes. I got to get into. But, Scott, I just want to say I've done the exact same thing you've done, man. I've left money on the table for years. I feel like I'm too nice sometimes, you know, just giving stuff away. But that's something I need to definitely change in the future. I think it definitely an increase in price is warranted because if you think about it, I mean, like everything. My wife tells me every time she goes to the grocery store, this just went up, this went up, this went, everything went up, you know. And they, not that they're worried about losing customers because we have to get it anyway. The reality is I think the same thing. I think everybody in the industry is going to have to raise their prices. That's what I was going to ask you also, David. Is there somebody, I mean, do we know, is Hayes raising their prices or is Shine? I know they, what, every year?
Shine 100% is raising their prices. I already confirmed that with them. So they are 100% increasing their prices. So, yes, so one of your main competitors out there is absolutely doing it. I haven't talked to anybody at Midwest. I did talk to somebody at NSK. NSK is raising their prices on January 1st, although that didn't come as a surprise to me because back when we had an account with them, they raised our prices on everything January 1st every year, at least a small percentage, but they are raising their pricing as well. But, yes, Shine is raising their pricing, Dale. I did get that
confirmation. Yeah, so – okay, yeah, I would just assume that includes Hayes because they're sending all their hand pieces to Shine now, if I remember
correctly. Right, and they own Hayes, correct.
So, okay, and last thing I want to say just for you guys that are actually do shipping, I don't do hardly any shipping at all. We do a lot of driving out, picking up delivery, you know, for here in my area. But I just, if I had to raise or if I had to add a shipping charge to it, in the past, I've done that with stuff I've sent out. I've always been hesitant, but I think every time I've done it, I've never had anybody come back and say, oh, you charged me for shipping. But they expect it is what I'm trying to say. I mean, when they buy something from Shine or anywhere, unless you're on Amazon Prime, right, you're paying for shipping no matter where you get it from for the most part. So I don't think that's a huge deal for you guys. Anyway, that's all I got, man.
No, I appreciate it, Dale, and I love what you just said. You think that an increase in price isn't recommended, it's mandatory. I think you're right. I think you're right. Everything's going up, and we know that. I mean, you're doing pickup and delivery? Holy cow, man, your gas pricing, I know you're in Texas, maybe it's a little cheaper, but your gas price has to have gone up like everybody else's, and not 2%, 3%, 5%. It's gone up like 20%, 30%. In the last year, right?
Yep.
I mean, absolutely. You should absolutely have a delivery fee on there or something. And the one good thing about this is, I know this is almost like a sounding like a doom and gloom kind of a call. I don't think it is, because if you look at the numbers, I mean, at least for, you know, your costs of repair. So if it holds true and our suppliers are going up anywhere between 2% and 5%, you may spend an extra $1 to $2 max on an overhaul, but you're charging an extra $10. So there's $8 drops right to the bottom line immediately. And it's going to be very noticeable right off the bat, the first quarter of 2022. And then who knows what expenses will go up over the course of the year, gas and office supplies and other things. But it might cut into that a little bit. There's no way it's going to cut into the whole amount. So, I mean, at the end of 22, just by doing this right off the bat on January 1st, even with some slight price increases with operations that you guys and all of us are going to encounter, you should notice a serious, you know, increase to the bottom line. If you're adding $8, let's say, in profit per repair, even with a slight price increase. So I think there's a little bit of a silver lining to what we're all going to experience here in 2022, in that if we're ahead of it and we jump on this January 1st, so we're acting kind of, you know, pre-acting instead of post-acting, at least for 2022, it should be all good. And then by the end of 2022, we'll see where we're at. Hopefully better off than worse off with, you know, the ships finally unloading here in Long Beach and getting product to everybody. But I think it should be a net positive for everybody year one. And it may even, that additional amount may even make up for the fact that you're spending more on groceries, more on clothes, more on baby food and SUVs, right? So it might completely make up the difference, and we're hopeful that it does for you guys. But I love what you said, Dale. You think the increase in price is not recommended but mandatory. I agree. I 100% agree. I wish Steve was on the call. He had a prior appointment, and I booked this on the day he wasn't expecting to, so that's on me. But he was on the same lines as you, Dale, saying this is everybody should be doing this, Dave, you know, is what he was telling me. I was like, I agree, because we're all so slow to increase our prices, and we eat an impeller, and we eat a back cap, and we eat a set of bearings, and don't pass that on to the customer. Just, you know, I don't know why, because we're all too nice, I guess. And at the end of the day, you know, we should, especially now. And just be honest with it, but yeah, I agree. Yeah. Try and eat less.
Dave?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to hog this call, but so everyone doesn't race to having our flyer, trifold flyers, say like $89.95 and up, I mean, do you think that is adequate versus having to immediately reprint your, you know, your literature? If you let someone just printed 1,000, let's say, flyers, I mean.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because that was one of my.
Is that overthinking it, or go ahead?
Well, one of my notes on here was to ask you guys, talk to you guys about the flyers, redesigning them with pricing, and I'll mention it now. If anybody does want to, I like your take on that. If anybody does want to increase the pricing on the flyers, just let me know, and I'll, you know, put my head down and get those new PDFs sent out to you guys so, you know, you can get those printed up, or I'll order them for you. But you were saying $89.95 and up. I mean, that's up to you. I think you could just raise your pricing. Out of all your customers, how many of them actually still have your flyer anyway, right? Like none of them.
Again, that's something that is a nice at the beginning of the relationship, but
yeah.
I think it's not even, yeah, it's an afterthought, really.
Yeah, because it's not like, I mean, if you think your current customer base can go find your flyer even if you begged them to, if you told them you give them $100 credit, if they can go in the office and find your flyer, they'd probably still strike out. So
we agree. That's probably more so for the prospective customers. You know, if you're handing out a flyer, it says $89.95 and up, and then they get their first bill and it's $99.95 or something like that.
Well, but, you know, even in 2000, God, it seemed like forever ago, 19 or whatever, our last conference, remember I handed out the Dental Fix RX flyer and the Hayes flyer? What, they were already at 109 and 119 for overhauls? Man, they were already 20 bucks over us 2 years ago. I can't imagine.
Yeah,
I tried to find some online
the
other day in prep, and
I couldn't. Yeah, I don't think what we
could.
Would be charging would be the issue. It's just a matter of if you want an account, is that too much of a semantical thing? The literature said, I don't know. I doubt that's the reason they're giving your business a try. Yeah.
I don't think so. That's just my take on it. Just luckily, I love that we built a customer base here that, you know, we do deal with local customers day in and day out. I'm on the phone with at least one a day, probably. Not like I'm on the phone with a lot, but, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, I'll be talking to one of our local customers. That never comes up. Pricing is almost a non-issue. Every once in a while, they'll be like, hey, well, it's just like 3 weeks out of warranty. Can you hook me up? I mean, I get those kind of calls, but
of course,
I don't really get pricing.
Yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not worried about it. I'm comfortable using the same flyer and not racing to reprint them. Cause I think it's covered by saying and up. And again, yeah, like you said, I don't think it's there's only a few small situations where that might have been what opened the account in the first place, but usually it's a non-issue.
I wouldn't hesitate to raise your pricing because of a flyer that's out there.
Agreed.
Like I said, everybody is expecting a price increase January 1st. I think they'd be shocked or a little bit surprised if their prices didn't go up. Wow, my handpiece repair is still at the same price. That's kind of amazing, you know? I mean, I just can't imagine they expect it. Yeah. God, we were at $79.95 forever.
Hey.
Yeah.
This is Bailey. I have a question for the Scott and Dave Hanpe show.
Yeah. It's now the Bailey show.
Showing his butt.
Forget about John Disney.
Do the warm-up act. Like, bring on the headliner. Bring on Mr. Tucker.
Got a question.
Now the real star of the show is up on stage.
Oh, here we go.
Leave it to me to derail things. Hey, quick question. If we do just a line item surcharge, you know, to help cover those additional expenses and stuff like that, would you recommend a percentage of the sale or just a flat rate? And the reason I ask is if I go get my car worked on, and I go down the list of all the different charges and everything like that, there's always a charge for shop fees and materials, and it's almost invariably a percentage of whatever the repair was.
Maybe whichever's more. What kind of percentage are you thinking of putting on there?
Hey, I'm just now thinking about this because of this phone call, so I'm just wondering what's going
to
be the most.
I do know this, and I've talked to, I can't remember who I was talking to the other day there. I think it was Jay Eubanks, and he was out on a car lot. He's looking to maybe get a new car. And he said, you know, he's talking about, well, the sticker, let's say it says, you know, $40,000 on the sticker, and then there's a $6,000 markup from the dealer. And that markup really pissed him off. And I get it, right? It ticks you off. But you realize the expenses are higher. Why don't they just put the price is $46,000 and not put dealer markup on there? Because I think it was just the fact that there's this, you know, random dealer markup on there that was ticking Jay Eubanks off. I think he'd have been happier if it just said $45,000 or $46,000 on the sticker and that was it. So I don't know. That might not be well received rather than just a slight price increase across the board January 1st, and then it's just that's the price moving forward. Bailey, I know you. I don't think you've raised your prices in a few years, so I don't think it would be unexpected. Do you?
Well, not on. I've raised my prices several times on new turbines, just because you know when I first started doing this way back when I was selling Microtech, and now you know I put the best possible turbines I can buy, you know, into the handpiece. So my costs have gone up, and it's justifiable. There's a justifiable, you know, change in price. And, you know, I used to give the customers an option, and almost invariably they would go with the most expensive option just because I sold it to them. But on the overhauls, I really haven't changed anything on that.
Why don't we do that then? Just raise your price on your overhauls $10. I mean, that seems to be the number, right? Just raise it $10. Because I think the most we're going to experience on an overhaul is maybe a $1 or at the most a $2 increase in product cost from what I'm getting from Mike at Sable and a couple of others. So I think a $10, just a flat $10 overhaul increase on overhaul is going to cover all your bases. Moving probably a few years into the future.
Hey, David, Tony D.
Yeah, Tony, what do you think?
Well, I've been doing a handling charge for 10-plus years. I started out at $5.95. I've been doing it for $6.95 for quite some time. Come January 1, I was looking at $7.95, and I label it as a handling charge. That way it's not called shipping. And I did that back when gas went up here 10 years ago. Postage went up, and I just do that to cover everything. And then I'm looking at doing my price increase, and like you're saying, I'm considering a $10 on just across the board on all my repairs because everything has increased. It doesn't matter where you go, where you shop, what you buy, it's all increased, and I think it's only fair because I haven't done a price increase probably since 2016 was the last time I did a price increase.
Yeah, I hear you. So it's time. I mean, that's five, you know, going on 6 years.
Yes.
Heck yeah. Absolutely. And by the way, Tony, quick question. When you when you change your handling fee from $5.95 to $6.95, what kind of feedback did you get?
Well, when I first started, David, to be honest with you, I had maybe two calls, and I've not had any calls since.
In what did you say, 10 or 15 years?
It's been 10-plus years.
Can you imagine $6, right, $5.95, $6 on every invoice from in the last 10 years for every invoice
yes.
you've created, what that amount is? I mean, that's tens of thousands of dollars, Tony.
And I did that one reason because I didn't want to increase my prices to stay competitive, but at the same time to offset any extra expenses as far as shipping, gas, whatever.
Yep, and yeah, I think we all experience the same thing. It's kind of funny, like, you know, when you first do it, you're just like waiting for that phone to ring to get a complaint, and all you get is the phone rings, and you know somebody's there calling for another pickup. So,
correct.
I think it's expected at this point. I know it was expected when gas went through the roof 10 years ago, and we had that meeting out in Vegas, and everybody was wondering what the hell they were going to do with these increased gas costs. And the solution, it was simple, but people were afraid to implement it because everybody had advertised free shipping for so many years. We all thought we were going to get a bunch of pushback, and we just got none. So I think we experienced a similar thing.
Yeah, and that's why I called it a handling charge. That way it wasn't considered shipping or anything else, and it wasn't a price increase at the time on the repairs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then 5 years later, it sounds like you did increase the price on your repair.
Yes.
And now here we are 5 or 6 years later, and
it's
damn,
time.
Like Dale said, I just think it's mandatory. I mean, our price on everything's going up, and maybe it hadn't. We've already noticed it at the grocery store and at the mall, shopping for Christmas and everything else. And I'm afraid January 1st, all these other these companies out there are probably waiting for January 1st to hit, and you're just going to see a little bit more of that.
Hey, I believe it's definitely going to happen.
I do, too. So anyway, still, the floor is open to you guys. I think we're all on the same page here.
Gord, I've got a question for you.
Sure, Gord.
Yeah, I was wondering if any of the other guys are charging for warranty work.
I don't get it.
I know it will charge you, let's say, $100 when you want to send in a handpiece for warranty work.
I've never heard of that. Who's doing that?
The NSK rep out in BC, so they repair handpieces. So if you're going to send in, let's say, an electric handpiece, they're going to charge you $100 for warranty repair.
David, Tony D again.
Double warranty?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
odd.
John and Tony, what was that?
Doesn't that defeat the whole concept of offering a warranty?
It would here in California.
Well,
would here in Pennsylvania.
But, you know, there are charges that we incur, like for shipping especially, right?
Yeah,
Tony D.
Yeah, Tony.
I even stopped charging shipping on warranties because, you know, I look at it from my perspective as a customer. If I go somewhere for a warranty and the place I bought the product or service from tells me that there's some kind of handling fee, that always pissed me off. That's not what, you know, if it's a warranty, if it was something that the vendor, you know, didn't do the work properly or whatever, there was some kind of, you know, just something failed. It's not anybody particular's fault. But I even stopped. If they give me a warranty, I repair, and I don't charge them anything to return it.
Okay. That's what I'm doing as well. I'm just wondering if maybe we should.
I don't either here locally to our customers. If they have a handpiece, they send us for warranty. Gord, I do. That does go back to them without a shipping charge.
There's no shipping charge, okay.
I don't. I mean, I guess I could see people doing it, but we don't here.
And the same with me, David. Tony D here. I bill a $0 invoice, no handling charge, no nothing.
Yep. So
I do the same.
Yeah, so I'm guessing not, Gord. Maybe that's something different up in Canada that you guys, maybe it's a practice that others also do, but it doesn't sound like people are doing that down here in the States. I think
I
probably some mistakes can be made on our end if somebody sends in two or three hand pieces gored, and we fixed two of them for, you know, an overhaul, a turbine, and then one warranty. I think those do go back to the customer with a shipping charge on them.
Yeah.
But if we just get one hand piece from them and it's a warranty, then we cover the shipping.
Yeah, because I know I talked to one dentist when I was first getting started, and there was a large company up here, not Shine or anything, but just a little bit less than that, and they charged him for shipping on a warranty, and he got upset and he just wouldn't use them anymore. He actually went back to Shine.
Was that Sinclair?
No, it's called Global, I think.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But I mean, it just ticked them off, like Tony said, and just wouldn't do business with them again. But.
Well, I hear you.
With me, I've had a situation where I did a bearing repair, and I tested the turbine,
Chuck.
You know, the poop test, and it was fine. And about a month or two later, they came back, and that the turbine and the poop test failed. And I with one or two people who I'm not too sure how well they actually maintain their handpieces, I've said to them, I did put in new bearings. I'm going to have to put in a new turbine. I'm going to put in new bearings. Can we share the cost of the bearings? Because I know you've used them, and I'm going to have to put in new ones because it's a new turbine. And they said, go ahead. That's the only time I've ever charged for a warranty.
And it sounds like you even got their pre-approval to charge them something.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I got them. Uh-huh. I spoke to them. I said, yeah, it's. I just had to do, you know. So, and they said, yeah, well, we understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like everyone seems to be in agreement that we're just getting hit with price increases everywhere. So it's going to be a natural thing to do on January 1st for everyone if you haven't done it already. We highly, 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 highly recommend it, and as Dale said, he considers it mandatory. So I'll open the floor for the last few minutes. Anybody want to bring up anything else pending?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you just do it, or would you send a letter or email or something to the dentist saying that as of January, I'm going to charge you?
That is a fantastic question, Erwin. A really, really good question. Would you just implement the price increases January 1st, or would you put some announcement out now? I'm giving them a month ahead of time, letting them know. I'd love to hear thoughts on that, Erwin. That's a great question.
Hey, David, Tony D.
Yeah. Yep.
How many times does our dentist call us and say, hey, to do a amalgam filling, this is what the price is going to be as of such and such date. You know, we've never been notified about price increases or when they're going on vacation or any of those items like that.
Uh-huh.
And to me, I think it's just part of the business that when there's a price increase, long as it is a price increase that is not over and above and beyond, I don't think there's no need to notify anybody.
I agree with you. We didn't plan on notifying our customer base here. We were just going to implement the price change and react if we needed to. I can't remember if I heard Joff on this call yet or not, but he was telling me the other day that when he bought the business, he raised the price of an overhaul and a turbine replacement by $10 without telling his customer base. And didn't hear a word. And then a few years later, he realized he needed to mark it up. He was still too low. He marked each one of them up another $10 a piece, and didn't notify his customer. And I think he told me he got like one, either zero or one phone call about it.
I mean, it's that way with any business. I mean, how many times do we get notified our groceries are going to go up, our gas is going to go up? I mean, all these other businesses never notify us as the consumer of increases, and I think it's the same with us. As long as we stay at a reasonable increase, there is no need for notification.
Okay. Okay.
Well, and I think it's expected. I think it's expected across the board in just about every industry come January 1st. Like I said, Tony, I think people would be more surprised if their prices didn't increase slightly.
Correct.
You know?
Bayless and Bailey again.
Yeah.
Hey, I think in terms of notifying the customer, if anyone feels compelled to do so, I don't think, I mean, I'm in agreement that we don't need to be sending out some blast email or mass mailing, notifying anything like that. I think if anything, you know, if you feel compelled to, just say something to the customer at the time you're picking it up because you're already there. And, you know, I think that would be the only necessary advisement if you feel like you need to.
Yeah. Yep.
Agreed.
Yep. I think we're all in agreement there too, guys.
Yep.
Been a pretty agreeable meeting here. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for the participation from Bailey, especially Tony today.
Hey,
ALC
David, can I ask one more question to the group before you go?
Heck yeah. What do you got, John?
I know Cecil is doing this or has been trying it. Has anybody had success or using a referral program where you send a card out with your repairs or whatever when you visit, you know, to the dental offices, refer a colleague or another dental professional and we'll give you a gift card or a free repair or a half price repair or, you know, half price for you and half price for your friend or something to make an incentive for both parties? Is anybody actively doing that, and have you had any good results?
Hey, guys, just hit *6 on your phone if you want to add to that. I know Joss Hamilton did a whole presentation on that at our last conference, John.
Right.
Where he was giving away a Starbucks card or a Chick-fil-A card to anybody in the office that would refer them. I think others have, even if maybe they're not kind of chiming in right now, John. I'll look and find out what I can find on that. We did have a TDC connected meeting on referrals, and so I'll try and find that one. I mean it should be on the TDC connected site and point it out to you and send a group email out to the group. But yeah, I know guys were using, and it was probably the same conversation when guys were giving out. I know Tony did and several others the free repair card. And I think Alex had it too, where you send in 10 hand pieces, you get the 11th one free, John.
Yeah.
I think it was that same conference call where others were doing a referral program, exactly like you just mentioned, and especially Joff, because I know Joff presented on that in Las Vegas with his, remember his Chick-fil-A card that he had printed himself, his little $5 or $10 card, and the girl accidentally took that card to Chick-fil-A, and they laughed her out of the building. Because if he did it, then what he meant was he would send him one. So
yes, I'm actually looking at possibly printing one today with VistaPrint that's given a $50 gift card of your choice or a $50 Amazon gift card to anyone that refers me a customer. Because if I could spend $50 and get a customer, I would be very, very happy.
Worth every penny.
You know, I want to make it really attractive to someone to shake that card and give it to a friend.
Hey,
absolutely.
Dave, it's Tony D.
Yes. Yes, Tony.
What I've been doing is just offering a free handpiece repair, and that seems to work real well because if you're not careful, what happens with the gift cards, then you get some people in the office that get upset because they didn't receive one or whatever, and I just do a straight-up handpiece repair at $89.95.
Okay.
That's great. I think, Tony, the only side note to that, I guess you kind of already answered it there at the first part where others would get upset, but was Joff's thought process was, you know, Cindy at the front desk isn't really that excited about getting a free, the doctor getting a free, no offense to her, but she's not excited about the doctor getting a free overhaul because she referred Dr. Smith down the street to you, whereas
correct.
She would be excited about getting a, you know, a $50 Amazon card.
That's the way I'm looking at this, David, is, you know, Cindy at the front desk going to take that thing and throw it in the garbage 97% of the time, maybe.
So, yeah, I don't know, Tony.
If someone at whoever opens that box and sees that, because it's usually never the dentist. It's usually
right.
The office manager or the person that handles the handpieces, and they're the ones that are going to maybe call their friend down the road and say, hey, this guy's going to give you $100 off a handpiece repair, and that person's going to get a $50 gift card.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea, John, for sure, and I totally agree with it. Tony had a little bit of a reservation there because of maybe some jealousy in the office, but what can you do to motivate Cindy to give you that referral?
That's why I'm asking the question, because I appreciate anyone's feedback, and I got a little bit to think about.
Cool.
Can I give you more to think about?
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you offer if they can get you into their study club?
I don't know of many study clubs up in my area. I know there's these, I wouldn't call it a study club, but they have, when a doctor's got to go to so many classes a year to keep up on their license.
The
continuing education. Those are the only things I know of up in the Philadelphia area. There's a Bucks Montgomery Dental Society, there's a Delaware County Dental Society, but I don't think they have things like that other than CE. I got to look into that.
Yeah, most of these dentists are members of study clubs that meet on a regular basis, and they just talk about whatever the subject matter of the day is. In some instances, CEs are involved, and in others, it's just more, talking shop and trying to figure out how to deal with, day in, day out issues that arise in a dental practice. But almost, most every dentist is a member of some, study club.
There's a guy in Philly who's got a massive following, and he does a once a month network meeting in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free. Most of them are, the ones that are once a month are free. And it's, at some, fairly nice place. There's one, Rosie's Taco Bar, he does a lot of. It's kind of like a low key, kind of nice place. And he puts out a bunch of nachos and maybe once in a while some tacos. And then he does another one at a nice pizza, brick oven pizza place in Philadelphia in downtown. And I go to them every once in a while. I sponsored one of them where I gave them like $250 to, have my brochures sticking out and mention me and introduce me to, quite a few dentists. And that worked out pretty good for me. So I'm going to probably sponsor two of those a year. Because this guy's really, really well connected. But that's, I'm going to look into these other study clubs. That's a good tip.
Yeah, that's worth a turbine replacement probably.
Absolutely.
But that's where especially if you can get up and speak talk about some of the issues that they're experiencing.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Well, thank you, Bailey. And we're at the hour mark, so I will let you guys get back to the rest of your day. I want to thank everyone for participating. Scott, Irwin, John, Cecil, Dale, Bailey, Tony, Gord. Sorry if I missed anyone. You guys were great, and I will be posting this recording to the TDC Connected site. And we'll follow up with some of those items we discussed. Everybody have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.